This Do Lectures episode features founder of the Culture Club, food as medicine and fermentation advocate, Deirbhle Reynolds, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2008.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute honour to be here, and I kind of feel half like scrapping my speech and taking little bits of all the speeches I've heard over the past 24 hours and patching something new together, but it'll probably take me a couple of hours. I have the pleasure of talking to you just before lunch, so I'm quite aware that you're possibly all starving. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit about food, so I'm sorry again. But I want you to stay with me just for the next 20 minutes, because I believe that what I'm about to tell you can possibly change your mind about food. And if I can't do it, I believe that these foods can. So I have for the past, say, 6 or 7 years, been continuously asked 3 questions. The first one goes, what is it that you do? And it is that genuinely, what is it that you do? And the answer is, I ferment my food. In fact, I ferment everything I possibly can. The second question is, how the hell did you get into that? And I'm going to use that as part of my story today. And the third question is, so how do you do it? Now, that takes about 4 hours to explain. So after those 4 hours, nobody ever asks me why, because they're completely convinced that this is the way forward to work with our food. But I have a question for you. How many people here feel like the black sheep? Different? Wayward? Defiant? The odd one out? Okay, there's a few. Maybe by the end, we'll all admit to it. So I just want to introduce to you Daddy Sheep. This is my dad, just as he retired from a pharmacy that he worked in for, I'd say, 50 years. He's a fine-looking man for 75 when he retired. We had to literally convince him that this was the right choice. But he was an old-school pharmacist that spent pretty much all of his day in the shop. When he came home, customers would knock on his door. And to escape, he would head out into the garden, and with magic ring fingers, he would just turn seeds into food. He taught me everything I know about foraging, and he taught me a great appreciation that nature has the answer. Next, I'd like to introduce my mom. And just before you jump to any further conclusions about my dad, there's 40 years between the two pictures, so he wasn't a cradle snapper. It just so happened that it was the only picture of my mom that I could find for this purpose. So my mom was a cookery teacher. And from the age of 12, she had taught me enough skills that I could cook the family meals with great joy. In fact, she used to call me a rather extravagant cook because she ran the home with merciless home economic strategies. My parents were really good at producing pedigree children. I like to consider them pedigree because they lived in the same town. They came from the same religious background. They came from the same education. They kind of had the same group of friends. They were thoroughbreds. And they produced 3 amazing pedigree children who were to become doctors, pilots, surgeons. And then they produced me, the black sheep. Now, we had a very happy childhood, albeit that this town that my parents lived in and continue to live in, albeit probably for not much longer, happened to be on the border of a country in a civil war. I was born in Northern Ireland, and the town that I grew up in was a seriously oppressive place. It was filled with deep trauma, to the point that it seemed normal for me that a bomb going off, maybe about, you know, a kilometer from my house, was kind of something normal. I grew up there as a black sheep, and I wasn't happy. Not only that, there was a life mapped out for me that this town, what it really needed, was a female pharmacist. my God, that so wasn't me. So what a black sheep does to survive is they build a wall. They build a wall around their heart. They have other options. They can become fiercely independent, so independent that they don't even trust themselves. Or conversely, they can become so codependent that they strangle every relationship that they get into. I chose the first two. My God, I ran out of that town like as fast as I could. I had a curiosity and I had a fearlessness that drove me across the country and as far away as I could possibly get. There's nothing more defiant than turning your back on a business and a life that is mapped out for you than dropping out of college, going to art school, and then joining the circus. And that's what I did. I ran away with the circus. I ended up in Australia for some years, and unfortunately, after a kind of slight forgetfulness that I needed a visa to stay there, I had to leave. They had no visas for clowns. In fact, I wasn't the clown. I used to just, in the background, do what was needed done. I arrived back from Australia, and the day after I arrived back, I met the man who is now my husband. And everything happened in very quick succession. So from 15 years of running, I met the man. He became my husband. We bought the house. We had a baby. Life was looking pretty sweet. A wonderful woman gifted us this book. In fact, I've never really thanked the author. But we had it all. We had the dream. We had somebody's dream. It was a slice of organic life. And we were doing it all. We were planting the trees, we were making the homemade products, we were baking the bread, we were doing everything that the book was telling us to do. This lady also gave me a great gift, and it was this sentence. She said, "When you become a mother, it's the first time that you really meet yourself." And I have been running for 15 years. And for those who are parents, those who are mothers, maybe you felt this too. But the person I met was a little bit of her, quite a lot of her. And if you identify with any of these things, you will come to realize that you were anxious and you were depressed. Not in a postnatal kind of a way, because that would be a clear assumption. I was a mother, a new mother, it's a huge transition, and if you're not prepared, it can take the floor from under you. I was depressed in a kind of way that I realized that for all my life, I had felt like I didn't fit in. I was a circle trying to fit in or trying to be squished in to a square peg. On New Year's Day 2010, we were traveling home from a rather pleasant New Year's party. My husband, my child in the car. And we pulled over to the side of the road because nature was putting on one of the most magnificent displays. Our little cottage was nestled somewhere in there. And for anybody that knows this part of the world, it's an area of outstanding beauty. It's a complete mountain range. There's a lock that sweeps in, and someone has actually at one point compared it to the Bay of Naples. I don't really agree, but it is quite astounding. But the reason why this sunset really stands out for me is I remember the pain that I was in that day. And the pain wasn't any of those symptoms. The pain was here. I had a pain in my stomach that was so blindingly painful that it made childbirth seem like a daily operation I would have gone through, and the pain wouldn't go away. Now, of course, coming from a family of medics, pharmacists, doctors, and the like, I wasn't going to ask them. Black sheep can't talk to white sheep. So I was going to sort this out on my own. And I went back. Well, I didn't have all the answers at the time, but there was one page in the Slice of Organic Life book that I seemed to just keep flicking past. The page was teaching you how to make sauerkraut. And like everybody else that I seemed to encounter in the past 6 years, I had that question. What the heck is that? What is fermentation? And in fact, the page didn't say much more than sauerkraut can help with with digestive issues, and it contains high amounts of vitamin C. It wasn't really a great hook, so no wonder I kept skipping past it. However, something told me to make the kraut. So I made one jar. I made two jars, made four jars. And for 2 years, I started to ferment everything. Yeah, eggs. I fermented eggs. I was so obsessed with fermenting that everywhere I went, my bacteria was sure to go. I could not leave home without some kraut, without some kimchi, without my... Oh, hold on. There she is. This is me on holidays on the other side of the country, and I really couldn't be without this foods because bit by bit, I was starting to feel better. Bit by bit, there was no more syndrome. I was well. In fact, my obsession became so intense that it started to look a bit like this. My head was so deeply, deeply engaged in what the hell was going on. These foods were creating something that was changing me. And I was completely obsessed. So when you become obsessed like this, I think in some ways you kind of start to alienate yourself a little bit. The eyebrow goes up from those that observe. They like to ask the question, what the hell is it? In fact, I think at this point I'm going to open a jar just so the aroma starts to make its way into the room. Because you can see that there's a lot about fermentation that just doesn't appeal. The word, I don't know, there's something about it. Sauerkraut, I don't know. I'd no reference to it, but I kind of thought I wouldn't like it. Kimchi, you know, sounds interesting, but open the jar and oh my God, it's a challenge. Everything about it seemed to present an issue. But nonetheless, like a bolt of divine inspiration, I knew that I had to teach. I knew that it was my job to bring this word to people. So I've had the privilege of teaching workshops from here right back to Australia. I've taught the general public, I've taught eco-warriors, I've taught doctors, I've taught patients, I have taught prisoners how to ferment food, because I truly believe that these foods can change your mood. As I taught, I created customers. They wanted my food, so I created products. I have products which currently you can't get. It's such a huge issue to try and bring these products to market. For one specific reason is these foods are alive. These foods have so much life force in them that they don't fit into our current food situation. They are the round peg that just will not fit in to the square hole. All the dinner parties that I wasn't invited to, well, I started to throw my own. I hosted supper clubs and charged people to come, serving vibrant food that delivered fermented foods like you'd never seen before. Someone quoted yesterday that there is no greater agony than burying an untold story inside you. I was lucky enough to be asked to write a book on the topic. And I would say that there is an agony that's greater than the untold story, and it is the agony of living with a pain inside you that you don't know that you can fix. Statistically, it is quoted that 1 in 5 people have IBS, just as one simple presenting issue. I saw it as my path to really get more involved in this. I had been primed for years to take on the pharmacy, so the science really intrigued me. So, at being so convinced, I needed the science behind me, and I was asked to send a sample to become part of a project. The microbiome was fast becoming one of the hottest topics in medicine. Gut health was becoming a conversation we were having around the table. So, to be quite blunt about it, I sent my poo off in the post. So before your heads run away with you, I'm talking a tiny sample, so don't be thinking, you know, anything complex that has to be sent by parcel force. But I got back proof. Proof that what I had done over the course of 7 years was making a change. What's happening with my slides? What I have in front is proof that I have a microbiome which is in absolutely tip-top shape. Just by example, I haven't put a picture of my husband up here, but here's an example of his microbiome. He's gonna love me for this. But if you watch me flick between the two, you can see there's a very subtle change between the very end bar. And the reason being is my husband eats meat and I don't. It's as simple as that. And you can see how the bacteria in our ecosystem start to respond to this. What came out of all of this was a company called The Culture Club. I'm not quite sure why. It had nothing to do with Boy George, by the way, although I do think he's a bit of a fan of fermented foods. And if anybody wants to see the story of transformation, I think he's a pretty fine example. But I had started a company which came from my gut. It came from an instinct, and it told me what to do. I no longer felt like the black sheep. I no longer felt like I needed to wear the darkness of that coat. What I felt like was someone who was starting to make an original contribution to the world that we live in. And this contribution not only was changing my world, but it was changing the worlds of the people around me. You see, today, 8 years later, gut health is one of the hottest topics in scientific research and the medical world. We are the most complex universe of bacteria. There are more bacteria in us than there are cells to the power of 10. I am an enormous bacterial experience on this stage compressed into an organic body. And this is mind-blowing. If you could see what I can see, there's bacteria everywhere. We are all this huge conversing bacterial conversation. And as we start to change our microbiome, we start to change our mood. It's very simple steps. It's missing. You're just gonna have to come to a workshop to find out how to do it. But essentially, it breaks down to introducing fermented foods into your diet and really making choices that are based on the foods that you eat that start to affect your mood. I had gone from being a black sheep and somebody who was quite depressed to somebody who was no longer surviving, no longer building walls, no longer fiercely independent. I was ready to collaborate. I was ready to accept that I was thriving. Not only me, but my microbiome. I've noticed quite a few people here are parents. And has anybody here been subject to the pet plea? It starts at around about 7, and they just don't stop. They want first the guinea pig, then they want the rabbit, then they want the cat, then they want the dog, and I've managed to resist all of them. I've managed to resist all of them until now because my daughter, she's now 9, she has taught me something incredibly important. She has taught me, it's an animation. Here's the workshop I'll go back to it. She has taught me the joys of crossbreeding. She's a well-researched girl on the topic. of the perfect dog to get. She has read all the books on breeds. She's read all the books on puppy training. She's walked all the dogs in the neighborhood. And actually, at this point, I believe her. She's ready for a dog. I still know I'll end up looking after it, but she's got me. She's got me because she has picked the dog that represents me. She has picked a dog that is selecting the best characteristics of each breed. I think you'll admit I inherited my mom's good looks. I've got her kitchen skills. I've inherited the knowledge and the empathy that my father carried for the many years through his pharmacy, thanks to all those summer holidays I had to spend working in there. We're less likely to exhibit disorders. And I have to say that that day, when I could not appreciate the sunset, I thought this is it. I thought this is how life goes. You age, you feel worse. You don't really get better. You take a pill, you feel worse again. I thought that was it. I thought that's how we aged. Well, that isn't happening for me, because I am going to continue to thrive. These crossbreed dogs generally have a great personality. I like to think I do, but possibly not on stage all of the time. And they're a real cuteness overload. This is a puppy from the Cute Pet Club, and it is the puppy we'll probably end up getting. And I'd like to conclude to say that I am not the black sheep. Why be a black sheep when you can be a cockapoo or a peekapoo or a snoodle or a labradoodle? Life is so much fun. So in all of this journey, I have actually come to accept me. I completely now embrace who I am. After years of running away from it, I am so much fun. I'm a puppy and I am ready to play. I have no idea where the Culture Club is going to go, and I feel so inspired to be in the company of leaders in the kind of business model, or people who have presented wonderful ideas on how you take these things forward. I have no idea where this is going to go, but I am going to enjoy the ride, because my purpose in life is not merely to survive anymore, but to thrive, and to do so with passion, some compassion, humor, and some style. Thank you very much.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or, if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out. For our weekly curation of wonder and optimism, sign up to our newsletter by visiting thedolectures.com/newsletter.